Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. To be 20-something, challenged, and black. That's the premise of Millennials, entering Season 2 Thursday on All BLK. Raiders executive producers Rugg and Oren Williams join me next. Yada TV, that's Y-A-D-A TV, is out to create content for the people, by the people. We'll detail what this new programming service is all about next half hour with Chief Executive Officer Tara Merchant. And our final 30 minutes previews Garden Fit, a public TV mix of better greenery and personal exercise. You'll meet co-hosts and executive producers Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes after the top of next hour. Also ahead, Discovery Plus's Endgame, the critics make their TV choices of 2022, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we're present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Get the good stuff for a listen whenever and whenever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 53 sunny degrees at the top of the hour, and we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. Got a great lineup of guests for you over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tuner Radio. We also have our chat room open and in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon anytime on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or Tune screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live and interacting with you. And our guest for Millennials, Rugg and Oren Williams, will interact with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. Discovery Plus's days as a mega content service are numbered. When Discovery merges with Warner Media, expected by mid-April, Discovery Plus will be incorporated inside HBO Max. Exactly how soon post-merger is not clear yet. Discovery Chief Financial Officer Gunnar Wiedenfels declared earlier today at Deutsche Bank's annual Media Investor Conference. The incorporation will be a phenomenal consumer value proposition, in Wiedenfels' words. The expanded HBO Max will continue to be offered in both ad-supported and ad-free formats. As for HBO Max, that service picked up a Critics' Choice TV Award last night for Gene Smart's turn in the comedy series Hacked. Rival mega content service Apple TV Plus did better, taking 4 awards, all for Ted Lasso, including Best Comedy Series, and 3 of the acting honors in the comedy category. The big winner among TV services was 8 with 9 awards, led by Succession for Best Drama, Mare of Easttown for Best Limited Series, and Oslo for Best Original Movie. The event was simulcast live on TBS and the CW. Declining viewership is forcing the end of medical drama New Amsterdam's run on NBC next season. Instead of 22 or 24 episodes for its 5th season, which begins this fall, only 13 will be filmed. New Amsterdam will wrap with 92 episodes on display at NBC. Now quickies, The Invisible Pilot, a 3-part documentary special, debuts on HBO Adam April 4th. Adam McKay is part of the executive producing team for that series. Transatlantic, the first television series from Anna Winger since Emmy-winning miniseries Unorthodox, will go into production for Netflix. Transatlantic will be filmed in English, German, and French for release next year. And rookie comedy series Abbott Elementary, whose executive producers were on this very program last December, will return for season 2 on ABC. The series is set in Philadelphia's public school system and is inspired by the mother of star and creator Keita Brunson, a retired teacher. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles, the duo who co-created and executive produced the popular LBLK series Millennials, coming back for its 2nd season this Thursday, Rugg and Oren Williams. Rugg and Oren, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure to have you both. Rugg, we'll start with you. What inspired both of you to come up with Millennials?
Well, I actually got inspired for the premise of Millennials actually watching my son and their friends. And their different personalities, and they're all very different, but they were very close. And then I started thinking about, I was like, you know, some funny situations in here. And I've always been a big fan of the 90s comedies, you know, that tone of that era, and Living Single, Yvette Lee Bowser. I've always been a fan of that. And I was like, it would be really cool to come up with a concept of 4 guys who live together in Los Angeles in the millennial age. And so then that's when I enlisted my son, Oren, because he's a millennial and he knows it better than I do. And we put our heads together and came up with the concept and shopped it.
So, Oren, as the son and his father-son duo, what was your contribution to the creation of this series?
Well, being the millennial in the situation, you know, and living in Los Angeles, there's just so many dynamics that you see living out here. I mean, this is one of the most diverse places in the world, probably. And with that diversity and living here and it being great and everything, there's so many challenges. And a lot of times with the millennial generation, it's like they're adults, but they're not really adults. They haven't learned how to do the act of adulting yet. So in that comes so many funny situations. So basically I just was able to take the relationship I have with my friends and from what I've seen living out here and to be able to craft those into situations that have natural humor and just bring a light to it and show also how you can find a way out of it, but also find the funny while you're hustling and trying to make it out here in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of path did both of you take to get this series on the air?
Well, it took a while. It took a couple years. We kind of developed it and wrote a couple pilots and, you know, shopped it around. I actually met Brett Dismuke, who runs the network. A few years back through my cousin, and I kind of hunted him down in a sense and told him, I said, I got some good things for you, and you know, I got a project I'd like you to take a look at. And it took a while because he was busy doing other projects and working for, I think, BET at the time and Swirl Films. So it took a couple years, and once he got over at AMC, All Black, at the time it was called UMC Network, Urban Movie Channel, and it changed to All Black after that. He hit me back and said, hey, we'd like to take a look at that project you sent over. There's some interest there. And it kind of, you know, went from there. And Bentley Cal Evans, who is a friend of mine and my wife's for years, he's the creator and executive producer of Martin back in the day and also the creator of the Jamie Foxx Show. And so I kind of adopted him onto the project and say, hey, you know, I need some help with this, you know, and he lent it his hand and his expertise, and we got a green light and kind of went from there.
Bentley, by the way, was with us way back when on this program when he was doing perming for other networks aimed at African Americans, and he's a terrific, terrific talent,
oh.
By the way, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oren,
I was going to say,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Bentley is a great guy. He actually took both my sons in, Zachary Isaiah Williams, who's also a writer and executive producer on the show, and Oren, and took them under his wings and allowed them to shadow him, and he mentored them and brought them in the writer's room, and that was a great opportunity for them to learn the business on the other side, because they grew up as child actors in front of the camera. So this was an opportunity for them to learn behind the scenes. And so that,
I started acting at a very young age, and I never knew the behind the scenes of it and the writing aspect and producing aspect. And Bentley actually showed me how to write, gave me my first opportunity to write a script, and I learned how to produce from him also. So he's been a great mentor over the years and was able to help me springboard into this basically new career in writing and producing and creating in addition to acting. So, yeah, Bentley's been great and continues to be great as we, you know, work through and keep punching out these millennials episodes.
That's the show we're talking about, Millennials. It is running starting Thursday, its second season on All Black, or All Be Okay. And we've got the co-creators and executive producers of the show, Rugg and Oren Williams, father-son team, with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us to kick the week off. Simon Applebaum with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A. That's New York, where it's 53 degrees at the top of the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04. My name. And coming up for the top of the next hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week, two prizes in play. And you could be that winner of those prizes if you come through with the correct answer first. So stay tuned. You could be our next classic trivia winner. Oren, when you were and Rugg were casting and Bentley were casting the series, what were you looking for in terms of the actors identifying not only with you as a 20-something, but other people you know as a 20-something?
We were looking for basically comedic talent, comedic timing. Because with those situations, you need to be able to be on your feet and react off of each other. And I think the cast we settled on has been amazing. They've encaptured the vision perfectly. They play off each other really well. The chemistry is there. And it was really weird because from day one, they kind of just came in and like at the snap, they were all over it. And I think part of that comes with this generation also because a lot of our comedy comes from social media right now, the age we're in. And I think everyone kind of has that, everyone who follows that kind of knows the tone. And with some of the cast members also being friends from just growing up in the business, they were able to take the scripts, even add some ad-libs and some funny jokes that we as writers didn't come up with. And it was just amazing to watch their chemistry and watch the magic happen, you know, basically from day one of our table reads.
Hmm. Rugg, how long did it take for the actors to find not only that chemistry, but also their individual characters?
I'm going to piggyback on what Oren said. Excuse me. It was actually quite remarkable to see how fast and how well they gelled together right from the start. A couple of the actors had known each other, you know, from growing up in the business. We have Philip Bolden, who some of the people may know from the Are We There Yet series and Brad Worms movies. Cal Massey, who everyone knows from Disney. Aaron Grady, who's a great talent. Everybody Hates Chris. So they had kind of seen each other, you know, growing up out here in Hollywood. And then we kind of added some flavor to that, some social media flavor. There's a great talent, King Kieron Harris, was added to the mix. And he's an influencer and does his skits on social media. And Teresa Topnotch, Celeste, who is from Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out. So she was used to, you know, doing that banter and that comedy back and forth. And honestly, from the table read, it was just like side-splitting. They just kind of I'll back up because we did it during COVID, and they actually met on a Zoom, and we did the first read on a Zoom. And right from that Zoom call, you could tell that the magic was there.
Hmm. Oren, what kind of feedback did you and your father get on the first season? What did people seem to like about the characters and the situations they were in?
I think it being so relatable was one of our top feedback positive feedback that we got. In terms of the situations, there's also, I mean, everyone knows the nerd in the group who's into anime and comics and superheroes. You know, everyone knows the slacker who can't keep a job. You know, he's fired every 5 seconds pretty much. And then we had a couple other characters who were one was a business person. One was a personal trainer, you know. And then Teresa's character, she plays as an aspiring actress. So we tried to keep it relatable in L.A., like the type of characters you see and you run into. I mean, you go and work out in Runyon Canyon out here, you see all of those people all in one place. so I think that that relatability was one of our top positive feedbacks that we got. And then the social media response when we came out last year was pretty cool. I mean, we had the likes of Justin Bieber tweeting us out and Michael B. Jordan. So that was pretty cool to see the reaction it was getting from the new fans and the people who were tuning in. With it being such a brand new show, you know, starting from ground one, you really got to come out the box and you know, get people laughing and get people engaged and get people bought into the characters and the situations. So I think it was pretty cool to see that feedback from, you know, a season with six episodes. So I'm hoping we can continue to build on that and, you know, keep people laughing and keep people having fun. That's really the main goal of the show is just with this, you know, the tough times we're in and with the world being so crazy, it's cool to just turn on your TV or turn on your phone and laugh at something for 30 minutes, something that's not a 5-second TikTok video. So it's cool to, you know, see these stories play out from people that you know in your actual life.
Well, given the fact that All Black is a subscription service, you have to pay a monthly fee to get it, and you got to get it through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Did that surprise you and Oren to get the kind of feedback from a Justin Bieber or from a Michael Jordan, you know, who are sort of two superstars in their respective fields?
Yeah, it actually was a surprise. It was, you know, very humbling and, you know, we really appreciated it. We also had, I think, a Romeo chimed in and retweeted and Jamie Foxx, you know, and then Jamie being a friend of, you know, Bentley. You know, so, you know, we had some eyes on the show that we didn't necessarily expect. It was great. And then we got very good positive feedback also from the network from our season one as well, which was very encouraging as well.
Mm-hmm. Season two of Millennials on All Black starts on Thursday. And All Black is a service from AMC Networks. It's available on smart TV sets and smart devices, and it's available by subscription. And we have the creators and executive producers of the program, Rugg and Oren Williams. They're with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Great to have you with us to kick off the week. Simon Avedon with you live from New Weber, York on this 14th of March, 2022. And if you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with our dynamic father-son duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We're just getting started with this 90-minute supersized edition of our program. Coming up in our next half hour, joining me here in New York will be Tara Merchant. She is the chief executive of one of the newer smart TV services, and a very ambitious one, and it's based here in New Ever York. That's Yada TV, Y-A-D-A TV. When you hear what she has in store for that service. And our final half hour, starting at the top of the hour, we will go live to two different places, Florida and Melonville, New York, and we will speak with another dynamic duo. This is a duo behind a new series that is premiering next week, public television stations around the country and on PBS.org. It's called Garden Fit. Think of it as a mix of gardening and personal fitness. You'll meet the co-host and executive producers, Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes. They'll both be joining us live after the top of the hour. So, Oren, here we are, season two starting Thursday. Where is the storyline at going in?
So season two picks right up where we left off last season, where we saw Travis leave and after a big fight. And, you know, with him being gone, they got the guys that are left is Todd and Jaheim. So they're trying to figure it out because Omar's on a business trip out in Russia. So they're left in the apartment by themselves. So basically they got to figure it out in the first episode to figure out how they're going to pay their rent without getting kicked out permanently. So along with the new season, we see a new roommate coming in named Fitz, and he's an artist and focused on making it big in that industry. And that clashes with some of the guys because, I mean, he's got his paintings everywhere, and, you know, it just doesn't fit the mix of what's going on right away. So they got to get used to each other and basically learn how to live with a new person. With Jaheim's relationship drama with Mercedes, we see how it is dating in this social media age with the rules on basically tweeting other women, liking other women's pictures. So they get into it. We'll see how that works. Also, how it is it spending too much time with your significant other, or are you not spending enough time with them? So they dabble and go back and forth in their relationship. We see Travis going through the ups and downs of his YouTuber career, learning the dangers of cancel culture, which is huge in today's age. So now he's got to look for new avenues to find a way for his popularity to work for him. And with our slacker Todd, he finally finds his true calling. This rise of e-gaming in the world lets him find out that, you know, all those hours sitting on the couch where he should have been working and getting a job playing video games actually might pay off for him. So with each of those storylines, of course, we have crazy antics that go on and things that set them back and things that maybe show them that they might be making it, and then they fall right back down. So it's a fun ride going through this season just with our character dynamics and watching them go at it with each other.
From what Oren just said, Rug, it sounds like both of you are going to be taking in this second season a deeper dive at the whole landscape of culture that these 20-somethings get into, whether it is social media, whether it's doing podcasts, video games, cancel culture, plenty of yardage to work with.
Exactly, and you mentioned podcasts, and so two of our characters actually start a podcast. We have Mercedes and Cece end up starting a podcast talking about relationships because Mercedes is going through relationship drama with Jaheim and feels that he's a little too smothering, and so they decide to start a podcast feeling that other women are feeling, you know, the same thing that they're feeling. So, and I want to add that we actually have a 90% millennial cast of writers, which helps the show out quite a much. All our writers are millennial. It's casted by a millennial. Our crew members are millennials. So, you know, we kind of get a real dose of, you know, what it's like to be young in Los Angeles in this day and age, dealing with the social media and the cancel culture and all of that. So, yeah.
Oren, what triggers the cancel culture situation, and what do both of you and your writers want to say about this idea of cancel culture and how it spreads all over the place?
Well, I don't want to tip it too much, but later on in the season we'll see Travis go into the situation to where his popularity as a YouTuber kind of turns against him when he accidentally says some stuff that he's, you know, joking around with, and it gets blasted out to some people that he didn't want to hear it. So basically he sees his peak at the top of his content and everything and all his fans who love him and how quickly that can all be over with, you know, something you say in 5 seconds. And while what he said probably doesn't reflect at all who he is as a person, you know, it just shows that the disconnect between someone who really knows you and someone who only knows you based upon the things you post and the person you are online. So it just shows that we basically, when we were writing it, wanted to show how everything can just be ended in with one tweet or one statement, and the life you know can be gone like that in a snap. And then it shows basically how he's trying to win it back and win his fans back and come back to where he was at the top. So we wanted to show that because it is happening in our world today, to where, you know, the person you are one day, one thing can happen and that's over with. You're now living a completely different reality based upon public opinion. And also how public opinion can convict you before all the facts are even out. So we just wanted to bring a light onto that situation and keep it real, because that's happening in today's age.
Rug, over the existence of this program, now 14 and a half years and counting, we have had many mother-daughter, husband and wife, brother-brother, sister-sister, father-son teams who create and produce television programs. How do you two work it out?
Well, you know, that's my son. We have a great relationship. We respect each other. Oren is very, very, very smart, so I'm learning from him all the time. And even with some of the storylines that that I submit, that he's like, Dad, you know, we can't do that. That's, you know, it's not current enough, you know. So, you know, he puts me in my place, and I put him in his place, and there's a great respect on both ends. And I think we do well together. Like you said, he's been in the business since he was 5 years old, and so he started out reading scripts over my shoulder. And so right now I'm just kind of looking to set up the next generation and sort of pass the torch on. And I'm looking for my son to take it to another level, you know, when I'm gone. Like I said, my other son is also executive producer and one of the head writers, Zachary Isaiah Williams. And another head writer, Tasman Rogers, is great too. So I'm learning from them. I'm learning from the young folks. And, you know, they keep it real with me. I try to keep it real with them. And we make it work.
And, you know, it's tough sometimes because stuff is constantly changing. Yeah, it's constantly changing. Like you mentioned culture and, you know, the culture we're in now is completely different than it was 5 years ago. So, and even last year. So, you know, working with my dad, it's like I have to let him know because, you know, he's not constantly scrolling all day. and, you know, I don't even want to do that, but I have to link myself with people who are doing that so I know what's going on and what's changing. So when you have the old school and new school mentalities and they're able to put their minds together to make something great, I think that's what you see when you get millennials because you see a generation who's trying to make it to where this older generation is, and they don't have the same roadmap as they did. So it takes a little bit longer. And everything that they did isn't acceptable nowadays. So it's like you got to sometimes just sit down and say, yo, you can't say that anymore. This is how this person would say this or do this. So I think we make right. a good team. And, you know, my dad, he's been in the business since I was little. He's been acting before I was born. So it's good to have somebody that I can always, you know, ask for advice or help me push the project through.
Yeah. How far ahead have you thought about doing this series? You see this going like a third season, a fourth season, however long you want, maybe even doing a spin-off with, let's say, taking some of the characters and giving them their own series.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would love to do something like that. Because of the way it's structured, you know, each character and their arc is constantly evolving and constantly growing because – we want to make it like, you know, normal people we know. Your arc as a regular person grows in this normal life. So TV and shows should be the same way. Each character can grow, and each character has room to grow. So I think the show can go on forever if we need it to because, you know, as those character dynamics change and as you meet new characters and new people, the story constantly changes and the comedy never stops. That's what's fun about it because we're making it relatable and making it off of real life. So comedy in real life never stops, so the comedy on the show should never stop. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think he touched on, he said it's kind of like a mix of old school meets new school. You know, we're working with the millennials who are writing and putting these shows together, but they have Bitney there and myself there to kind of add that old school flavor and that in the mix as well. And I think it's a great mix because it seems like our fans are like from like 18 to 45 and above, you know, which makes it great for us, you know. So, like you said, I think it can go on as long as you know, we're allowed to create and make new stories. And it can definitely evolve into, you know, a spinoff or two because all the characters are their own people, if that makes sense.
Millennials, going into its second season on All Black, otherwise known as All BLK, this Thursday. Remember that All Black is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, available by subscription, $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. For more details about the program online, go to www.allblack.com. That's www.allblk.tv. That's www.allblk.tv. Millennials kicks off this Thursday, Season 2. Reverend Howard Williams, thank you both very, very much for joining us from Los Angeles. Congratulations on Season 2, and hopefully the long run continues on All Black.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having
a lot.
It's been a pleasure all the way. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Ruggan Orin Williams joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tamavi Televised. Coming up in our next half hour, You'll meet a chief executive of one of the newest smart TV plumbing services called Yada, YADA-TV, and she has a very ambitious agenda for that service. You'll meet her. Her name is Tara Merchant. She joins me here in the Big Apple after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Today at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, it's Women Who Jam Radio. Check it out. It's women who are doing their thing and doing it great. Women Who Jam Radio, today, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 4 p.m. Pacific right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And remember, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow We Televise. Tom Hamill with you live from New York. 53 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard. Another great hour coming your way, and we invite you to be part of the program. If you have a question or comment for any of our guests ahead, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. My next guest, the chief executive of one of the newer smart TV plumbing services around, smart TV sets, smart devices. It's called Yada TV, YADA-TV, and it has a very ambitious agenda. Joining us live here in New York, Chief Executive Officer Tara Merchant. Tara, thanks for being with us. And hold on for a second. Let me see if Tara is popping in. There she is. Tara, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. Thanks for being aboard. Tell everybody what Yada TV is all about.
Well, first and foremost, hello, everyone. Yada TV is a streaming service, but it's also film production. We do a lot of podcasts, web series, documentaries. We do a lot of heavy events. We're based in Jamaica, Queens, New York City, and we're just here for the long haul to just consistently maintain the integrity and remain focused on building substance in content.
Mm-hmm. How long had you thought about putting this network together?
Well, this has been in the works for over, I would say, about 2 years now. And we've just really expanded. We're seeing a lot of things that's going on within the industry where a lot of content developers aren't getting their fair say in their creativity. And so I felt that, first and foremost, let me just tell you what Yada means. Yada means God in Hebrew, and it also means I know. And so we know that there's a lot of scrutiny going on within the industry, so we just want to allow those that are creators to have their say, and, you know, no one can tell your story like you can.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the programming, tell people where they can get it on smart TV sets and devices. What smart TV sets and devices are you currently on or going to be on shortly?
Okay, we are on mostly every platform from Roku, Apple, what is the other one, Amazon. We'll be on 100-plus smart TV syndication. So these are things that are developing as we speak. And also, what is that, mobile devices and iPads, all of the above.
So let's get into the programming. Apparently, you're shooting for a wide range of content, everything from news,
yes,
unscripted shows, scripted shows, made-for-TV movies, music programming,
mm-hmm,
stage plays, and so forth. What's it been like? Give us a sense of some of the content that people can currently see on Yada.
Well, we have a mix of blockbuster movies, and then we also have original content. But what we're shooting for is more so of the original content, because I think that lacks in a lot of the streaming services. So I want people to be able to see what's going on actually within the communities, different assets as far as, like, walk of life, and a lot of people, you know, they just want to see real, what's really going on, versus, you know, being cut out of a lot of things or not really knowing a story for what it really is.
In putting the content together, what's it been like for you as an entrepreneur and one of the newest players in television, not just smart TV sets, but all of television, to approach people to be part of your vision, be part of your channel, supply you with content, especially original content?
Well, I think the biggest – it's been a journey, Simon, and it's I could say it's an awesome journey because I get to speak to so many people as I go about my walk. A lot of people, they have so many things that they've hidden or wanted to tell stories or, you know, it's a lot. But I guess what happens is we start talking and the conversation is so real. You know, it's one thing to look at a person, but it's a difference when you see them, if you know what I mean. And so that in itself really motivates me each day to just keep going and to try to do exactly what I felt was mandated of me to do. And that's Yada TV.
Are you and your creative team, are you at the point where you thought you were going to be right now?
Absolutely not. It's been really like moving forward at such a speed. I sometimes have to just really sit back and say, wow. But no, it's been moving really fast. And I'm enjoying it.
You're hearing Tara Merchant. She is the chief executive officer of one of the newest smart TV set and device programming services. It's called Yada TV, Y-A-D-A TV. It's based here in New York. And she joins me here in the Big Apple this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom Evan with you live from New York. Good to have you with us. 55 degrees after the bottom of the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. You have a question or comment for Tara, bring it in. 646-652-2906. That's the number to call. 646-652-2906. That's the number you use. And by the way, you can use from anywhere where you're hearing us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. How is the network funded? Is it a subscription? Is it ad-supported? How are you getting the network, you know, to be financially sound?
Well, we are subscription-based. Also, advertisement. We do, obviously, sponsorships, but it's mostly subscription-based.
And how much does it cost per month or per week to subscribe?
Well, the monthly cost is $5.99 per month, and I believe it's 72 monthly. Annually.
And how has the network been funded? Is it have you had a bootstrap? Have you tried to get outside investors? Have you tried to get venture capital or angel investment? Or in these days of blockchain and cryptocurrency and NFTs, use those avenues to get this network off the ground?
No, actually, what happened with me is we have investors that believe in the same vision, and that's pretty much where we've been going. I've used a lot of my personal funds as well. So this is how we are funded.
For those who don't know, tell us how you came to be in television. How has your career progressed? What's been your career track?
Well, my career track is just basically being at first and foremost a is how I started, and I was blessed enough to be able to meet a lot of people that were in the industry. And I did it for about 3 years, and that's how I became involved. And what attracted me was the fact that for everyone that I spoke with, there was a commonality as far as comfortable. We were able to talk as just like we were sitting on a couch just conversating, old friends. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it and just wanting to make sure that we build something of substance. That's my whole thing, substance. We see so many things like movies, whatever it is, documentaries, but we just want to see substance, something that really attracts attention and intellect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I, you know, got involved in it. I wanted to just expand my horizons and just move forward in it.
How are you positioning Yada TV? Is it as a family-friendly service, as a wide space for all sorts of entertainment? How do you – what kind of marketing message, promotional message are you sending to people out there to take your channel?
Well, the message is basically it's content for the people, by the people. That's the message. And it's family-friendly. We do have, a censor where if there is something that's not suitable for a young child, then we'll let our subscribers know so that way they have a choice of what it is they want to watch. But that's the message that we, give to all of our subscribers.
Mm-hmm. You said earlier that you have studio facilities in Queens, one of the five boroughs of Nueva York. When did it start operating, and what kind of programs are you producing out of there?
We have a film production in Queens, what is called, it's kind of historic for those that are from the South Jamaica area. It's called the Coliseum, and that was a place where a lot of the rap artists, early athletes in their early career, a lot of people would always go to that particular spot. They have a lot of jewelers there, so they would go and have pieces made. And then the spot where we are, it was once called Moe's Sneaker Shop, but no one knew the amount of space that was behind it. And so this is something where this gentleman, he helped a lot of people in the community with jobs, sold a whole bunch of sneakers. And so we just figured that would be a good spot for bringing back the essence of South Jamaica. So we're at 8902 165th Street. Operations should start next month, actually. Our doors will open. And we will have podcast rooms. Again, we will have broadcasting, live broadcasting. We'll have a recording studio, music recording, voiceover. We'll have a white and green room, and we'll also have a sound staging. So this is what we're offering, and we welcome everyone to come by.
What kind of podcast will you be doing out of there?
Well, it's basically up to an individual, mm-hmm. whatever it is that they can come in, because these spaces will be, you can reserve the spaces. So it's up to whomever, what it is they're wanting to do.
It sounds that you want this space not only to be a center for original content that you're putting on your channel, but you want it to be an outreach as well to the immediate community in Queens.
Absolutely, because we partner with the 103rd Precinct. We partner with them. They have a program for the youth called Youth Speaks, and that's basically targeting those that want to stay, first and foremost, out of trouble and give them an outlet. And so we're implementing some programs for them as we speak so that they'll be able to come in and see the engineering side, editing, whatever it is that strikes their interest. You have a lot of young generation, they're into music, they're into film. So we're just trying to give them something to look forward to other than just, getting in trouble.
Mm. Are there any plans to set up similar studio spaces in the other four boroughs of New York?
Yes, it is, actually. We are looking at a property actually not too far. I believe you call it Dutch Kills in Long Island City. So we're looking at that. So I'm planning on opening at least maybe two more buildings.
So that we can, have you contacted – I'm sorry, go ahead.
so we can kind of broaden, you know, the aspect of filming, so you can have bigger spaces. You know how it is with certain scenes and different things. So we just want to give as much capability for one, and also for jobs too within the community.
As I'm sure you're aware, Tara, there's an office of the mayor, which is devoted to media entertainment. It's headed by Anda Castillo, who has been on our show several times. And she has really, with her team, been, over the last 2 years, given the coronavirus pandemic, been very, very successful in getting the New York TV production scene back and booming. Have you talked to her office about the possibility of joining forces to get more studio space, not only in Queens, but also Brooklyn, Staten Island, the Bronx, and Manhattan?
No, I have not, but someone had mentioned that to me. So I'm in the process now of hopefully contacting and connecting with her shortly.
Yeah TV is currently on the air from here in New York, and you can find it on smart TV sets and smart TV devices from Roku to all sorts of other places. And it's available by subscription, and they're also getting into advertising. We'll get into that in a little bit. We're speaking with Tara Merchant, the Chief Executive Officer of Yada TV. She joins me here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we're excited you are aboard as well. If you have a question or comment for her in our mini minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week, two prizes in play, the Nailed It cookbook from the folks at Netflix, and the Blues Clues 20th Anniversary Notepad from Nickelodeon, which, by the way, we'll be doing a special event near Times Square next week to discuss what new program is that's coming up in the year ahead. And I'll be covering that, by the way, event for Media Village, the Media Leadership website. Check it out. Great commentary about the world of television and other media at www.mediavillage.com. It's www.mediavillage.com. So stay tuned. Classic trivia question coming your way in a few minutos. Tara, I understand one of the things you want to do with your service is to present live concerts, to present theatrical plays, stand-up comedy, what you call speakeasy shows. Where are you at in terms of bringing those to people on a regular basis?
Those are they're developing really quickly. We have a partner, our affiliate, they're called OnStage Plus. They're based out of Oakland, California. They're services, they do a lot of the live streaming, as you mentioned, comedy shows, stage plays, and so we're right now in the we're right in it, actually, where we're starting to do a lot of live screenings and going to a lot of events. We're scheduled to be at the Cincinnati Music Festival in July for the Janet Jackson, Lee Charlie Wilson concert. And so I've been getting a lot of requests for us to be at certain events and covering it.
Mm-hmm. Does your itinerary include at some point going to some of the TV and film festivals to try to go after content, especially series creators who are going to put pilots together, whether it's a Series Fest in Denver, which is coming back in person for the first time in 3 years, or Tribeca, which has a lot of TV stuff, in June, maybe the return of the New York TV Festival, and maybe other things that are happening, the North Folk in Long Island, other TV festivals around the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Simon. Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We are, like I said, we're formulating, we're doing so many things, and we anticipate being at a lot of these festivals that are coming up. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome. What's been the interest level among advertisers, national advertisers, in being part of your service in some manner, whether it's through commercials or through special branded messages or doing interactive programming? Any sense of what's going on? And have you been involved in trying to get, or your team trying to get ad sales going?
Well, we're trying to get ad sales. That's where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I have, I would say maybe four that are major. I'm not prone to talk about it right now, but it's working.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the works now.
Two other areas I wanted to explore before we leave you. One is, I understand that you want to do programming in sports, and specifically martial arts involving African Americans. What kind of world is there in that?
It's a huge world, come to find out. A lot of the martial arts, I'm finding that this is nationwide, and there was a I believe it's like a it's called 52 Block, and I believe what that is it's a form of martial art, but it was taught in the correctional facility, and so we're trying to just find out the whole overall gamut of what this is, the popularity in it. It's really global.
And any other sports you're looking at, whether baseball, basketball, unique sports, or esports for that matter?
I'm looking into, I'd like soccer, all of the sports that are relevant. And I see that a lot of people are geared towards the martial arts. They're geared towards, obviously, basketball. So we'll just visit every avenue possible that we can explore. Yes.
A lot of services that either are trying to get on smart TV sets or smart devices are being developed now for smart TV sets and devices are looking into funding themselves or funding content they will put on through NFTs, through blockchain, through cryptocurrency. Are you exploring any avenues in those areas?
Actually, I'm having an NFT developed for Yada TV as far as the using it as funding. No, I have not explored that channel yet, but we are having an NFT created for Yada TV. So that's where we've gotten in that.
Well, what kind of NFT? Is it going to be a piece of art? Is it going to be jewelry? Is it going
to
be
actual,
what kind of item are we looking at?
It's actual, it's somewhat like a piece of art, the way they made it. It's awesome. It's actually on our site, www.yadatvnetwork.org.
Are there any plans to try to diversify the network, to have it be a network where it can be for African Americans, for Latinos, for Asian American, Native Americans, other diverse communities?
Yes, it is, actually. We are, as I said, we're universal. So we're not, you know, it's not just for African American, it's for all walks of life. Because I look at it as we are all one anyway. So that's my main focus of it being universal. And I think it's better that way.
The service is called Yada TV, Y-A-D-A TV. It is now available on a subscription basis. It's also going to try to get advertising. It's available on smart TV set devices like Roku, Apple TV Plus, Amazon Fire TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For more details about the service online, go to yadatv.com. That's yadatv.com, Y-A-D-A-TV.com. And there's another one, too, as you mentioned a moment ago, yadatvnetwork.org. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you got two websites to go to, yadatv.com and yadatvnetwork.org. Either way, you'll find all about this new smart TV programming service. Tara Burns, the chief executive of Yada TV, thank you again for joining us. We deeply appreciate it. Congratulations on getting this service off the ground, and we'd love to have you back before the year is out to check out the progress. It sounds like you're on the road to some very exciting things for viewers all over the nation.
Thank you, Simon. I really appreciate you guys.
It's
Thank
our
you.
Pleasure, Tara. Take care. All the greatest.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Tara Merchant, the chief executive of Yada TV, joining me here in New York. More tomorrow we televised. Our classic trivia question coming up, but first of all, from our great sponsor, Athletable.com. One of the most popular podcasts out there, and also a great audiobook, too, is Stuff You Should Know. It was a series that was also made into television way back when on the Discovery Channel. And I believe we had the people from Stuff You Should Know on this very program. Oh, way back when, too. Well, if you want to check out Stuff You Should Know, you can with a trial subscription to Audible.com. In case you don't know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, a trial for 1 month, great customer service from Audible's parent, the one and only Amazon.com, and while the supply lasts, important health and wellness information that can make a difference for you or someone you know. Plus, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you're in great luck. Two audiobooks for your one-month trial, including one from the growing catalog, Audible Originals. We're talking original audio programming, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, great one-woman and one-man shows available anytime you like. So how about making today the day that you can listen to the good stuff that Audible.com provides, and Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you love can hear the world. Remember, all it takes is a one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. So check it out. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Second and final week we're offering the question. If you press the correct answer, you will win the Nailed It Cookbook. It's great for the whole family. Baking challenges for the rest of us. Based on the popular and award-winning Netflix series. And from Nickelodeon, the Blues Clues 20th Anniversary Notepad. Both can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Remember Jeff Edwards? Very popular game show host. Credits include The New Treasure Hunt, Jackpot, New Chain Reaction, Shoot for the Stars, and more over a career that ran from the early 1970s into the late 1990s. Well, here's the question. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? I'll give you a couple of hints. Two-word title. It was on CBS. It was produced by Barry and Enright, Jack Barry and Dan Enright, their famed production company, and it was actually a remake of a television series that was in the 1960s. And you can find the first episode of both programs on YouTube right now. So that's the question. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. So if you are the first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question first thing tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWET. That's UBC Simon, TWET. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program about TV's current and future. 14 and a half years running. We mark year 15 in August, first Monday of that month. And we're delighted to have you with us. And on this 90-minute edition, usually on from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. By the way, if you're listening to us on Amazon Music, you can now get us through Vizio Smart Television Sets. So we want to welcome those of you that for the last 2 weeks may have been tuning us in on Vizio Smart TV Sets through the facilities of Amazon Music, and we appreciate that. Congratulating Amazon Music and Vizio for making it happen. And if so, I hope you make us a regular habit. Don't forget, you can always give us a call when our show is live, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And you can do so by 646-652-2906, the 646-652-2906. And even if you can't listen to the show live, or if you are, you can still, if you know that we're on in those hours, give us a call. We want to hear you. And remember, other people you know can dial in, too, and they can also use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. When we come back, public television next week launches a new series that combines gardening with personal exercise. It's called Garden Fit. You meet the two people behind it. They're the co-hosts on camera. Off camera, they're executive producers. Madeline Hooper will join us from Florida. Jeff Hughes joins us from Mellonville, New York. After we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million people around the world every month and growing. Tomorrow night, check out American Sports History, a very unusual sports radio program. It's on tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. American Sports History exclusively and live on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 always at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final 30 minutes of Tomorrow Be Televised live from New Weather, York. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from the Big Apple, where it is now 54 degrees at the top of the hour. Have another pair of guests for you in the 30 minutes ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. So give us a call. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anyway. You're catching us from across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, all simulcasting together. And we have our chat room going, SimonApple04 by name. Use that as well. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. For a number of decades, WGBH, the public television station based out of Boston, became the pioneer of lifestyle, or you might call enthusiast, programming. We're talking about Julia Child with the French Chef, Bob Vila and This Old House, and a man named Crockett, who used to have a thing called the Victory Garden. He made gardening in and outside your home a national pastime. Well, next week, American Public Television, which is a programming service separate from PBS that serves PBS stations around the country, is starting a new series called Garden Fit. It combines gardening with personal fitness in a very unique way. And joining us live right now from two separate locations are the people who on camera are the co-hosts. Off camera, they're executive producers. Joining us live from Florida, a wonderful gardener, one of the top in the nation, Madeline Hooper. Madeline, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Happy to be here.
Same here. And joining us from Mellonville, New York, is the personal fitness trainer, one of the top in his class, who's also with us. That's Jeff Hughes. Good afternoon to you, Jeff.
Hey, Simon. How you doing?
Very, very fine, thank you. And Madeline, we'll start with you. How the two of you get together to put this series on the air?
Well, actually, we put the series on the air from personal experience. I garden quite a lot. I'm quite the enthusiast, and I was gardening hours every day for many, many years, and I just kept having a lot of shoulder pain and finally asked a friend who's a gardener if he knew someone that might be able to help me fix that problem. I just didn't want to go on gardening in pain. And in any event, he recommended Jeff Hughes, and Jeff, he said, was a trainer that he went, personal trainer that he visited 2 years ago. His wife gave him only 3 sessions with Jeff, and he still remembers how he gave him ways to really cure his shoulder pain. So off to Jeff I went, and Jeff really trained me and taught me how to be fit in my garden, and that's how it started.
Jeff, when you had met Madeline to provide your guidance for her situation, did you ever think that it would lead to a television series?
That's a great question, Simon. You know, I've been training people for 35 years, and I've always had clients that said, hey, you should write a book, you should do a video. And you know, Madeline did the same thing. She was like, oh, my gosh, I don't hurt anymore. I garden for 5 hours a day. I play tennis. I'm here to work out. You know, that was a totally different person. And I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, we're not going to write a book today. Go do your push-ups. Let's get this. And it took a few weeks for her to convince me to just sit down and talk about the idea. And so to answer your question, I certainly had never thought of doing this, but we decided this was just the best way. You know, we just need to get this information out there. So now we have Garden Fit.
Yeah. Madeline, how long did it take to encourage public television to take this series on? Had you tried to, for example, go to Home and Garden Television or other places that do lifestyle programming, whether broadcast, cable, smart TV, distributed services, to get this program going?
Well, actually, I think we were very, very lucky, Simon, because we had a business friend who suggested we show it to PBS, and we had developed a sizzle reel and shared it with them. And really, they were the first place we went, and they loved it. So it really just happened to us. I mean, we just, you know, lucked out, as I said, and really are excited that the show is finally going to be starting to show, be seen next week. So we were lucky. They thought our show was exactly what they wanted.
What's it like, Jeff, for both of you to sort of follow in the footsteps of such public television lifestyle legends as a Julia Child, as a Bob Vila, as Crockett and the Victory Garden?
Well, you know, we really didn't put that much pressure on ourselves to start with. We were just anxious to cut our teeth on executive producing and get a show going. But it did set a bar, And we have been very, very specific the whole time we were developing the show, deciding which gardeners and gardens to go to, and just how we were going to shoot it. We had a lot of integrity that we had to live up to, which is very much in reference to your question. And so the pressure was really to not be as great as those shows, but to just be as great as we can and to kind of have total integrity on a show that fixes people in 4 weeks.
The program we're talking about is Garden Fit. It premieres next Monday and all next week on public television stations around the country, syndicated to them by American Public Television. Remember, that's a separate organization from PBS, the Public Broadcasting Service. And we should point out, as we do when we talk about public television shows on this program, that you have to not only check your local listings for where it's running, but when it's running. Many PBS programs or shows from American Public Television and other sources to PBS stations will run the show at all sorts of time periods, whether it's prime time, daytime, weekends. Some will do a double run where they do a show during the week and then rerun it during the weekend. So you have to be very careful. Check both the local listings for where it's running and when it's running. And we've got the two people who put the show together. They're both hosts and executive producers. On the gardening side of things, Madeline Hooper joins us from Florida. On the personal fitness side of things, Jeff Hughes joins us from Mellonville, New York. And they're both with us this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Happy you're aboard, too. Simon Appbaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Make a phone call. Connect with them, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name. So, Madeline, what happens in each episode of Garden Fit?
Well, in each episode of Garden Fit, we visit a gardener, our guest gardener. And we have selected these different gardens all over the United States because they are so diverse and such a big variety. So we first learn when we arrive about the style of gardening, what inspired these gardeners, and how they started to actually design their own gardens and their own environments. And we feel that that in itself teaches people how to think about gardens or gives them opportunities to see other people's ideas. Best way to learn how to garden is to visit other gardens, in my opinion. And so once we're there, we go about hearing how they maintain and take care of their garden. And that gives Jeff a chance to learn what he needs to find out as the gardeners in our audience really get excited about the different techniques they share.
Yeah, well, I
and when you go to these different places, man, I'll get to you back about the personal side of you, Jeff, in a moment, but when you go to these different places, what are some of the common garden situations that you're finding? Are there certain types of plants? Is it more on the indoor as opposed to outside the home, on, say, on a patio or near the sidewalk? What kind of situations do you deal with?
Well, we have seen gardens that are desert gardens. We've gone to farms that really harvest saffron. They grow and harvest saffron, which is such an expensive spice. We've gone to places that are English-style gardens. And so their design and their ideas of how to garden are different. But what they all have in common is that they're very concerned about using native plants that are accustomed to that habitat, to that area and that climate, that helps all living creatures in their garden. And they're very concerned, again, about these habitats, about making sure that their gardens are a place that are healthy too. And I think one of the things that inspired us was that, you know, gardeners are so keen on making sure that their plants are healthy and that their garden is healthy, and they neglect themselves and just keep weeding till they can't move anymore. So all of them were very, very enthusiastic about how the physical side of gardening required a lot of their time and a lot of their energy, and because of that, a lot of them had aches and pains.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to you, Jeff, on that. In doing these episodes, what were sort of like was there a commonality in terms of personal issues with health or fitness that these gardeners were dealing with?
Well, yeah, there was, there was a commonality and there was also a uniqueness. You know, as Madeline was saying, we toured the garden, and during the show and during her and our tour, my tour, walking around with the gardener, as the viewers and as Madeline and I got to observe their garden, I got to observe them, you know, like if they were walking with a limp or something like that, or a few of them actually would bend over to grab something and I'd hear a And that was a key for me to pay attention to something about them in their, my observation of them in their environment. And then she mentioned maintenance and so forth. So as they would take us through the tour, sometimes they would grab tools or show us kind of what they do in certain places. So then I got to see, you know, what tools they were using, how they were using them, how they were holding their body. So I have it to the end of the tour. And I also got to understand a little bit of their philosophy. As she was saying, you know, they're all very much into habitats and nature. And they weren't actually treating themselves as part of a habitat. So it gave me a chance to sit down with them. And, yeah, for the most part, you know, gardeners' backs and knees hurt. That's pretty common. A lot of wrist problems from grabbing and squeezing a lot. There were a lot of general problems, you could call it that, but they were all caused by something a little unique in every show. So my solution really had to do with not the fact that their lower back hurt, but what they were doing specifically in their specific garden to cause it. And that's really how my solutions work in the shows. We say I fixed them, but what I did was I gave them my expertise from the gym and teaching people how to handle their bodies in gyms and out in the real world. I taught them how to use their tools in a way that they weren't causing a problem. So when we came back 4 weeks later, they had stopped causing it, therefore they didn't have the problem anymore. And they also developed a habit. That four-week period is wonderful, that because they would develop an autonomic habit to do it a different way as well. So they're pretty much set for life. You know, it came back, their pain was gone. They weren't thinking about it. They found a new way to do, a new way to handle their body when they're doing the same task. And it was a win-win for everybody.
You know, Simon, I like
do
to
you
say that
do a lot
they,
of advanced research and come up with a game plan when you go to each of these locations, or do you wait until you actually see the person and the health issue, whether it's the back or the fingers or the elbows, whatever, and then apply whatever techniques you can on the fly?
Well, that's the scary part of it. You know, I'm going in blind. I've never met these people, and I go in and I really have to observe them to try to figure out the cause of the problem so I can, you know, the cause will take you to the solution. I never really had a grand plan when I'd go in. I've been doing this so long, you know, I fixed a multitude of people doing a multitude of things, and somewhere in my brain it would click what their unique fix was. But it was always, I would always, like, when we would be heading up to the shoot day, I would always look to Madeline like, oh my, what if I can't fix them? And she was always like, you're going to fix them.
Yeah. Madeline, how much time do you and Jeff spend with each subject? And how much, it sounds like from what you were both saying that you take, there's like two sessions, one where you go to the place and deal with the issues as they pop up, both the gardening issue and the fitness issue. And then it sounds like 4 weeks later you go back with your camera, your production crew, to the same place to see where have things progressed.
Exactly. You know, I've done some research, being the gardener of our team, to find out a little bit about these gardeners and the type of gardens that they've created. And when we get there, we have a scout day. And on that day, we all, but I specifically, enjoy going around with these gardeners and finding out so much about their garden and enjoying their enthusiasm about what they've created. And that really starts to set up what we're going to talk about during filming the next day in terms of how much of their garden we can show and how many of their tips and techniques they can share with our audience. And I think by that time, I feel that we've gotten to know the gardeners quite well. I mean, Jeff doesn't spend that much time with them on the scout day, I think, because he wants to really deal with them in when we're shooting, authentically responding, as he is so good at doing, to their specific situation and identifying their causes. So by the time, I think, Jeff, I think he would agree with me, we finish shooting the first time, we feel like we really know them and they've really opened up to us. They've shared their creation and they've shared their personal aches and pains with Jeff and really listened to him. And when we come back 4 weeks later, the smile on their face says it all. They're overwhelmed with how different they feel, which is just so nice. And I think we feel that we have, you know, a mission that we wanted to accomplish in every episode with every gardener, and it was to make sure that they learned how to take care of their bodies while they were taking care of their garden. And I think through Jeff's insights and fixes and habits, that happened. And it's really exciting. It's just a wonderful feeling to see the transition.
Yeah. Do both of you, when you go to these places and you deal with these people, do you find that the experience to the people you deal with becomes very transformational? When you watch programs like Restaurant Impossible on Food Network or Build It Forward, just had the one of the co-hosts behind that series last week, which started Saturday on HGTV, or before that, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, where the renovation, whatever the situation at hand, the renovation of a restaurant, the renovation of a home or a garden, whatever, becomes a transformational experience because along the way you tap into like a long-standing issue with the subject in terms of their relationship to a family member or their relationship to their business or their mindset about whether they can, in fact, hack life. And because you do what you do, something about them gets transformed for the better.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of tapped in on this a little earlier. They create a habit. I teach people how to handle their bodies and how to do certain tasks, not to just tell them to do it, but I try to explain to them, first of all, what they've been doing that's causing the problem, and then I have their total attention when I do that. And they agree with me because they've been doing it, and that's exactly where the problem is. And then if I can tell them, I show them a different way of handling their body or a different style of doing things, or maybe just some therapy to do if there is no better way to do it, but just something they can do to counter the problem they're causing, it makes sense to them. So when we come back, not only, like I said, is the pain or ache gone, but they've incorporated this into their lifestyle. So there's a major transformation. And as Madeline was saying, when we come back, we just went around the country and made new best friends with 14 people. We just had a great time, and they loved us. We loved them. We're still in touch with just about everybody, and it was a really wonderful experience as executive producers to get to be the hosts and be on camera with these folks and turn them into the third star of each episode, but also to put something like this together. We're very proud of it. It transformed them completely.
Garden Fit is the newest series attraction of American Public Television, which supplies programming of all shapes and sizes to public television stations around the country. And Garden Fit will premiere next week, Monday for some stations, other times later in the week or on the weekend for others. And so don't forget to check your local listings for where it is running and when it is running as well. We've got the co-host executive producers this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised from Florida, Gardner Madeline Hooper, and the personal fitness trainer Jeff Hughes joining us from Mellonville, New York. They're the co-host and executive producers. If you have a question or comment for them in our remaining minutes, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04Benin. And coming up shortly, we pay tribute to a fantastic actor who actually got his start on a PBS program. We'll tell you about that very unique tale of William Hurt and a personal alma mater triumph. Tell you more about that, too, as well. Many of the lifestyle shows on PBS, particularly those on WGBH-TV Boston, have had sponsorship from the start. Polaroid, for many years, was a sponsor of the friendship. In terms of funding, how were you able to get it? Did you get a sponsor? Did the Corporation for Public Broadcasting come through? How was the funding handled?
Well, we really got funding through private sources, and we were happy about that because we really could spend our time creating the show and working on each episode, and we enjoyed that process and felt really happy about that approach, that business approach.
And Jeff, any particular anecdote about a specific episode that maybe impacted both of you or either of you more than most?
Well, there's all kinds of ways to take that question. We had lots of impact. I don't know, Madeline. What do you think?
I'll tell you what. I think we were very lucky because we found the right team and we really had fun all the time. I mean, every day, I think we just enjoyed being with the people that helped, you know, the production crew. We found this fellow Dan Klein, who has Dan Klein Films, who put a whole team together. And I think we just were good together. And the Gardeners really tapped into that. So whether it was raining or it was, you know, 95 degrees in the desert, I think we just enjoyed every minute of putting this together and, you know, transforming people, as Jeff just said. But I don't know, Jeff, some of the we missed flights, right? What about
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, we had to do our business work while we were traveling from, you know, I guess, Gordon destination to Gordon destination. So I think some of the fun things were to try to figure out how to find food and how to, you know, get our lawyers on his call. And, you know, we did a lot of things.
to answer your question, Simon, yeah, really it was just one day after another of impact, and it was fun. We were always wearing two hats, and we had to really get smart about what hat we were wearing at any given time. You know, like Madeline says, I don't know how many, I can't even count them, how many times we were in a rental car leaving the last location on our way to an airport to drop the rental car off, get on a flight, go to the next location, and then rent another car. And almost every time when we were in wherever we were headed, we were on a conference call in that rental car, either with lawyers, with the network, with the production company. We were executive producing from rental cars and from hotel rooms constantly. And then
actually,
it was almost
Go
ahead. I was just going to say it was almost a vacation. When it became shoot day, everything was basically in place, and we got to sit back, have makeup and hair done, and just go have fun with the Gardeners. So the shooting, you know, 13 episodes, visiting twice to each one, we had 26 days of actual of just getting to be talent. That was great.
That was fun. That was a new experience.
Those
but
days
I was
when
just
we
gonna
had
say
done
that
the executive producer work.
We have been
to Garden Flavor.
Sorry?
I said Route 66 with a Garden Flavor. Can't beat that.
No,
yeah,
right,
that's kind
exactly.
of pretty much, it was kind of a, that was pretty much the way it went, yeah.
I was going to say on camera once, we had been to so many places, and we started to roll, and Jeff walked up to the guest garden and said, well, it's wonderful being in Wisconsin. But we weren't in Wisconsin. We were in Michigan.
Yeah,
I have
total empathy for rock stars and politicians after that.
As a famous newscaster once said, and so it goes. Garden Fish from Garden Public Television begins next Monday over many public television stations all over the place. And if you want to know more about the program and where it's on, you can go to these two websites, pbs.org and American Public Television's own website, which is aptonline.org. That's aptonline.org and pbs.org. And I believe both websites are also going to stream or will carry episodes and excerpts from the program. Again, it starts next Monday. Check your local links for the stations in your area that are not only running the show, but also when they're running it. Some stations will run it during the week, some on the weekend, some will do a double run weekend and weekday play. Madeline Hooper from Florida, Jeff Hughes from Nellenville, New York, thank you both very much for joining us. Congratulations on getting this new series off the ground. Have a hunch it's going to join the great parade of lifestyle filming produced on public television. And hopefully, just like those shows, like The French Chef and Crockett's Victory Garden and others, a great, great run.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you very
Simon.
Much,
this is fun.
Great.
It's been a pleasure all the way, Madeline. Jeff, take the air. All the greatest.
You too. Bye.
Madeline Hooper and Jeff Hughes joining us live this Monday afternoon on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Speaking of PBS, in the mid-1970s, public television introduced one of the longest-running programs in existence and it's still on today, Friday nights. It's great performances. Performances in theater, drama, music, opera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And at one point, they did a made-for-TV movie called Verna, USO Girl. It starred Sissy Spacek, and it also turned out to be the big breakthrough for a person by the name of William Hurt. William Hurt took that great performance that a lot of people noticed, and he turned it into an incredible career in film. In the 1980s, he was one of the most popular and most unique actors around, with great award-winning films and terrific performances in The Big Chill, Body Heat, Children of a Lesser God, The Accidental Tourist, Broadcast News, and his Oscar-winning role in The Kiss of the Spider-Woman. And he continued that career on stage, in other TV venues, as well as film. William Hurt passed away last night at the age of 81, a sensational career, a cause of death unknown, even at this hour. In an interview that he did several years before his death, William Hurt liked to say that he didn't like interviews. He wanted his characters and his performances to speak for themselves. They certainly did. One of his best last performances I saw when we interviewed the people behind a series on AMC called Humans. He played a senile grandfather who was being cared for by a humanoid. It was a marvelously moving performance, and it continued to be one of his great works in his gallery of sensational performances on film, on television, and on stage. William Hurt will be very, very missed. And on a happier note, I'm delighted to tell you that my alma mater's women's basketball team, the AU American University Women's Eagles, have made it into the NCAA Women's Tournament. Yes, March Madness will be happening in their world of Washington, D.C. Their first game will be this Saturday, time to be determined, to be on one of the ESPN family networks playing against Michigan. And they got a good chance to do it with a 23-8 record. So congratulations to the Women Eagles. Go, go, go this Saturday in a game that will be telecast on one of the ESPN family networks. We'll tell you on our next episode Friday when that game will be on. We'll keep you posted about that. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today, all of you for tuning in. We'll be back on Friday. That'll be at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We hope you'll join us then. And in the meantime, I want to let you know that if you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go to our podcast. They're available to you soon after our show ends, and that's on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, the Amazon Music, including Vizio Smart TV sets, Apple TVs as well, also at the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal and Reason. Love to hear what you thought about our program today. And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. Use that for our classic trivia question. And as our regular feature is Show to Know, we'll try to do a Show to Know, by the way, on our episode on Friday. And you can find me on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. LinkedIn and Facebook, Simon Applebaum. Twitter, UBC Simon, PWT. However you respond, we respond back to you within 24 hours because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and others through this program. Annie Toast, BPR's General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website service by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Miami Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. To listen to the good stuff, go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Miami Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you do here now and then, make it safe and great. Have been vaccinated, check your doctor, check your medical situation, find out all the treatments and available pills available for you anytime, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well, stay tuned, and go Eagles!